This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
You're all listening to Joy 94.9. This is the Escape Hour.
Ross, you sound like you're salivating.
Well, I've just put a croissant in my mouth, haven't I?
And, it was either that or the Collingwood Football Club were jogging past your house.
Oh, that does happen as well. That's enough to make me salivate. Mark Adams, how are you this week? You gorgeous man.
Very well. It is a beautiful spring day. We've been trotting around Albert Park Lake and St Kilda Beach.
It's
been
beautiful. That's fantastic.
Yeah. So I'm going to be doing some more athleticism this afternoon.
Were you jogging?
No, trotting.
Trotting.
Oh. Yeah.
Did you have your 9 inches on while you were talking?
Just the clip-clop club. So it is a stunning day here in Melbourne, top of beautiful. 18. We're looking forward to that happening. It's going to be a beautiful afternoon. So let us know what you're doing on this sunny day, apart from listening to Joy 94.9 all day.
Well, this is our croissant show, isn't it?
This is our croissant show. We've always been bent, and today we're talking about the curliest of all pastries. We've got a checkered history. We're going to talk through that. We're going to talk to one of the most recognised croissant chefs, bakers in the whole of Melbourne, probably the world, and we have her live in the studio. She's going to talk to us about the most delicious flaky light pastries that you can acquire to gobble up.
And speak French.
And speak French.
With our resident Frenchman.
Stéphane, who is our panellist today?
How are you? Good afternoon.
On the world,
well, thank you very
it's
well.
Good. Are we going to see how many croissants we can stuff in our mouths in the next hour? Now, there are around about eight. Who's going to try?
Well, seven and a half now, Russ. You've dove in.
I must say, this apple one's gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. Yeah.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Bon Jawa, you're on Joy 94.9, and this is the Escape Hour.
Your Escape Jour.
Escape Jour. This is your food and travel show. My name is Russell Mastercon, and I'm going to hand you over to our other hostess, Mark Adams. Bon Jawa.
Bonjour. Mademoiselle. Welcome to Escape Pod today on Joy 94.9. It's currently 14 minutes past two on a beautiful 18-degree day. That was Russell doing a stage performance of Allo Allo. Our guest today is Agathe. Agathe is one of the premier pastry chefs in all of Melbourne, and that's a big call. Agathe, welcome.
Thank you.
What got you into cooking pastry? Because of all the things you could do in a kitchen, you stuck with pastry.
Yes, it was not exactly what most people would think. It was never a passion. I had a completely different life before.
What was that?
I was an IT consultant for 15 years in Paris.
Wow.
And okay. It was just, I just needed a change of life, I think. My husband's Australian and we were living in Paris and we had already decided to move to Melbourne. And I just thought, well, now maybe is the right time for me to do something completely different.
So IT wasn't going to be the thing that you want to turn your hand to when you came to Melbourne?
Something
completely different.
Yeah, I thought now is the time. If I want to do something different, it's now or never, because when you move across the world and you don't know anyone and, you know, it's like everything's open for you. That's how I felt.
Did you find that liberating?
Yes. Yeah, it was really a great experience. So
from IT, which is a huge sector, it's anywhere in the world you can go and be employable in IT. It's a lucrative, you know, it's always in demand. To then go to pastry, it's a big risk.
Yes, I didn't really think about it at all, actually.
Perfect. Best way to do anything.
Often the best way to do things, I think.
Yeah. No, I just, it's true. I've never really been ambitious or into anything too material. I didn't really care. I just wanted to do something fun and different and maybe challenge myself as well, because I was never even a cook. I had a really busy life in IT. I never cooked dinner. In France, we have a great frozen food chain and all our food was from there.
What chain is this? That's
Picard.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So you know it's Stefan.
It's French.
Oh,
I do know. Yeah, it's French. Well. Iceland.
Oh, is it? No, it's not. It's better than Iceland.
Everything
Iceland
French
is
food is
really
better. Than, yeah, come on. We've been through this before, Stefan. We know your opinions on European food.
So you were not a cook. Came to Australia and became this French pastry chef, and look at you.
How did you do that?
I'm astounded. I can't cook either. I might have to get a recipe or two off you.
What a restaurant of your own. It seems to be going quite well if you don't know what you're doing.
Exactly.
I prepared a little bit. I took a parental leave from my work and I enrolled in a pastry school.
Where was that?
In Paris. Right. But just before we left,
yeah.
I just did 3 months intensive course just to see what it was like. And actually, I loved it. I loved it because it was very scientific. It was not what I expected. It was, there's a transformation of the matter, the ingredients. You put an egg and sugar and you mix them and it becomes all
heat and time.
Frothy and different. And it's very rigorous as well. So I think it was really good for my personality. I really enjoyed it. So I learned by myself also at home. And then we arrived here and I just started something.
So you started a business from scratch with...
Yes.
3 months of intensive, but I mean, this would be pretty intensive. It's a lot of skill involved in pastry work.
Yes, and it was only the basic skills that we learned because 3 months is not enough. But I even have the diploma because at the end of the 3 months course, you take the diploma. So I am actually a pastry chef qualified. Well,
so did you have to take some tests or do some?
Yeah, it's like a full day test, and it's really hard. It's actually like those MasterChef or it's so hard. You don't have a single minute to rest. It's the full day. You have to prepare 4 different types of pastries, and it's super stressful.
Mm. So what do they make you prepare?
So we had to do one type of croissant. You have to do an entremets, which is like a big dessert cake. You have to do a tart and a choux pastry. Mm. So all really different techniques too.
And you graduated with flying colours by the sounds of it.
So
you sound like you did a bit of a Julia Childs. You remember that old American lady? So she didn't know anything about French cooking either. And then Bob, your uncle, she's written a 500-page cooking book and she's one of the most famous women who are French cooking ladies in the United States. And now we've got you, which we're very grateful for.
Oh.
So what is the key to a beautiful croissant?
I think you shouldn't be too light with butter. You need to make sure there's a lot of butter in the dough.
What
you
kind
French
of butter?
You love butter, don't you?
Yes.
The French, yeah.
Well, yes.
Oh, this Aussie loves a bit of butter too.
Does he?
Oh, yes.
I'm a margarine. I can't believe
it. Are you?
It's not butter. But
so what kind of butter? Are we talking fresh out of the urn, salted, non-salted? Cultured?
Non-salted. Cultured is better. I actually get my butter from New Zealand because when I arrived here, I had no idea what butter to use. And it's completely different to France. In France, I think it's a big industry. Mm. So you have lots of professional shops and they sell you the right kind of butter depending on where you live, the temperature, the humidity. Here, there was nothing much. So I just actually bought a few different butters and I tasted them and I just picked the one that I liked the taste of.
Mm, perfect.
And it's from New Zealand.
That's right.
Fair enough.
We're friends with them.
And we got the flour. Do you use Australian flours? French flour? You don't import
I use Australian flour. Okay. And and it's the thing, when I started, I had never really worked anywhere. Mm. And I just tried from the supermarket.
Yeah.
And it worked fine, so I kept that.
Okay.
And I know lots of other people, they import flour from France, and I don't see the point. It's very expensive. And honestly, I think that ours tastes pretty good. So.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes. Definitely.
Now, you're really thin. Is your husband still skinny?
No.
Fair enough, because Agata's brought in a selection of pastries which are available from her store. You can check out her Instagram page, Agata Patisserie. We'll put that on the Facebook page because we have a Facebook page.
Yes, we do have a Facebook page.
It's very popular. And you should go to it now and rush and pull over if you're in your car. Don't do this if you're driving. Go over, and it's Agathe Patisserie. We'll put it on our Facebook page, and it's got lots of beautiful images. That's Facebook and Instagram, sorry. And there's lots of images of the different kind of pastry. So walk us. I know this is very hard to describe to people over the radio. You've bought in seven. It is now six pastries. Walk us through the ones that you brought through, because they're just beautiful looking, and we all want to dive in.
Mm.
So I've brought the traditional one, so the plain croissant, mm-hmm. which is made only with butter and not margarine. the chocolate croissant, which is also similar to the plain croissant, but we put two chocolate sticks inside. And then the... Actually, there's a couple that are also quite traditional. So there was an apple tart that's now gone.
And I can vouch that that was so
good.
Yummy.
Yeah.
I just wish the show would hurry up so I could have another one.
We'll have to go to a break in a minute. So we're holding Russ back. We're restraining him.
There is a brioche, which is filled with apple puree.
Oh, yum.
Yum.
And then the two a little bit different ones. So we have an Earl Grey croissant, which we make with a bergamote essence, yeah. because Earl Grey is, I think, the flavor from the bergamote. Ones, yeah. And a pandan croissant, which is a Malaysian take on the croissant.
Wow. So when you're coming up with these ideas about evolving a very classic French staple, but we will talk after the break about, is it really French? Ah, the controversy. But when you're looking at evolving things, how do you ascertain whether these flavours are going to work and whether bringing a Malaysian style, the pandan's very specific to Southeast Asia, with this classic French style, how do you balance those flavours? Is that a taste test trial, or do you wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, bolt upright, knowing that's what you're going to do today?
Yes, it's that. I actually think of something that I've seen in a different dessert that I've tried. I think I tried an ice cream with pandan because I didn't know pandan. I've never seen it in France.
Mm.
And I liked it, and I thought, oh, that would be nice in the croissant. So I just tried a few like recipes, quantities. I played with the quantity, and then I was happy about it. And I had some of my friends, Asian friends, try it for me, and they actually wanted a stronger taste. So I put a bit more in it, and then they just loved it, and that's how I did
Eureka.
That. Yeah, but it always comes from probably a different food that I like, and I think, oh, that would be nice in the croissant, like the laksa. We have a laksa croissant.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that.
Laksa?
Yeah, I love laksa. I've never had it in France. I just love it so much, and I thought, oh, that'd be nice. I love the chili, and I just put the paste with the dough, and it
squid.
Worked.
Do you put squid in it?
We have we have a squid in croissant.
Squid ink? Squid ink.
Yeah. So what are the most popular ones? What flavour are the most popular?
The ones we sell the most are the plain ones. Mm-hmm. But also that's the ones we make most of.
Right. Yeah.
But we sell out of every flavour. The Earl Grey is very popular. Mm. And we have also another one, a raspberry, which is very, very popular.
See the berries going off. Yeah, yeah. What about meatballs? I was reading today that you can get a meatball croissant.
Is that something we might try
not at Agathe's, no?
I googled the weirdest things that you can put into a croissant, and meatballs was in there. And
Okay. It kind of flies.
Pecan pie filling, which kind of makes sense.
Yeah, I get that, because there's a style of croissant with the, is it almonds?
Almond cream in the croissant?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But they're croissants that are already made. Usually in France, they're recycled croissants. If you don't sell your plain croissant, you recycle them the next day with almond cream, and you bake them again.
So they're baked again?
Yes,
so
they're baked again.
Right. Okay.
And in France, it's only for recycling, so we don't eat many almond croissants. But here, we have to bake croissants on purpose to make almond croissants.
Because
people love them. They always want more, and we never have enough.
They're sweet.
Yes.
But
someone asked me to make a chisel croissant.
Oh,
that's very Australian.
Maybe a twisty croissant? A twisty croissant, wouldn't that be yummy?
It would.
You know, I've got this thing happening at the moment. Well, my favourite dessert is cookie and cream ice cream. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I was sort of thinking that I might get you to make me a cookie and cream croissant, because I'm on this bit of a health kick at the moment. I've found a protein bar, which is cookies and cream. But I'd gladly give up the protein bar if you could make me a cookies and cream croissant.
I might try that.
Okay, good.
Well, there's a lot of there's a lot of butter, and butter is protein, so you will have your protein ration in that.
So I don't need to be eating these silly protein bars, do I?
Just have butter.
Croissants. Yeah, croissants would be great.
Joy 94.9 has a huge range of programs available for podcast. In fact, Joy is one of the largest podcasting communities on community radio. If you haven't checked out our podcasting service, you're missing out. Visit joy.org.au, click on the podcast tab, and you'll find a list of Joy programs regularly sharing the best interviews, news and reviews. There's tens of thousands of hours for you to enjoy, so check it out now, joy.org.au.
We were talking about the history of the croissant.
Yes.
And it's controversial, don't you find?
Yes, I think the French, like many people, dispute the origin of the croissant.
It's Viennese,
of course.
Isn't it?
Also, Stefan, what did your research, what did the research team tell us?
I did a little bit of research.
It's from Vienna, isn't it?
It is. In France, all those things are called viennoiserie, which are the, okay. From Viennese thing. And apparently it was created in the 1680s in Vienna, as a way to celebrate victory over the Turks. So that's why it has this crescent shape. Croissant meaning crescent in
crescent
French.
Moon, yeah, which was flag. Crescent,
yes, which was the Turkish flag at the time. So, but I think Mark, it was a French.
I think it was a French chef in Vienna.
So we can kind of reclaim the French. I think.
But
we
it
should.
Is emblematic of French cuisine. It has really been embraced and improved and perfected.
Improved from the
by the French.
By the French. Oh, I thought you were.
Yeah, I've got two French people in the studio. If I'm going to start dogging,
oh, no, they're very proud people. Don't go there. Don't go there.
And Agathe is. Evolving it again and being in Australia, you're creating Southeast Asian flavours, and this is intriguing. So pandan,
yes, it's so it was something I didn't know in France. I'd never had it before.
So what are you using? Are you going back to like the pandan leaves or?
Now we use an extract and a can, but I used to when I first started and I didn't have to make that many. I made my own extract from the leaf in a blender.
Okay.
But now we just buy a pandan can, and so we can make a lot more of them. And we just mix it in the dough, and it gives that flavor, which it's very hard to describe. For me, it's a little bit nutty. I'm not too sure how to describe pandan flavor.
It's a very Southeast Asian flavor, because a lot of things are cooked in Malaysian, Indonesian, Thai, all around that Southeast Asian region, a lot of cuisines use pandan for different things.
Yes, they use it in
desserts.
In desserts, and one of our customers told us it was the Malaysian vanilla.
The Malaysian vanilla, I like that. It's very poetic.
Durians.
Durians.
Do you want a durian croissant?
Yeah, I think durian croissant. That sounds very nice. I'm not a big.
I thought you were a fan of
Asia
durian.
Lots of exotic fruits, and you know you've got to so to speak bite the fruit to see whether you like the flavour or not, don't you? But what I do want to know is how's Australia taken to all these different types of croissants that you've designed for us? Do they? Well, they're obviously banging down the store door to get in there first thing in the morning to have their fix for the day, are they?
Yes, they really like them. I think they're very open-minded Australians, and they're very curious about new things. So we sell all of them. Like, we never have enough of the pandan, the matcha, all the weird ones we have. What's good is that at first, I think many, foodies, people bought them. But now at the market, it's everyone. Yep, from the families, even the children, they eat them, and the older people.
So how do you think your creations would go home in France then?
I'm not sure. I think in France we're still very traditional.
Yes.
And I know on Facebook, like on some pastry chef groups, people have been just criticizing some of the things I want to do.
Oh,
not
really?
Not nasty, but...
questioning.
Yes.
So what are they questioning?
You know,
go
why?
Back to my tea. Get out of our butter.
That happened actually, but no.
Really? That is weird. Anyway, so what are they saying? What's their critique? This is not traditional.
This is, why transform or deform or, you know, the traditional way. It's a good way, the need to do that. Like the last one I did was, it was a garlic butter parsley, like a snail. You know the snail
escargot.
We eat? Escargot. Mm. I like that butter taste.
Yeah, so do I.
And the smell. Mm. I love it. So I wanted to do that in a croissant. And yeah, from French people, it was really like a mixed response.
Yeah, see, we're not cultured enough here in Australia, so for us, for us, anything that tastes good is just good enough, you know. And that just sounds wonderful.
Have you done a Vegemite one?
We did a Vegemite and cheese croffin.
Okay,
for Australia Day last year.
Yeah, was it popular?
Very popular.
Yeah,
I'm still keen on this twisty one.
Twisties.
Yeah, a twisty croissant. Yeah. That sounds good, doesn't it?
Or a Tim Tam croissant.
Oh, yes.
But how would you do that? Would you just melt the Tim Tams and...
Probably, yes. The easiest way is to do, like we said before, with the almond croissant.
Oh, yeah, so...
You can mix it in the almond cream and then you can get the taste you want to have all these strange flavors. But I really like... mixing the flavor with the dough, because it's more of a challenge. Mm-hmm. It's harder to do. Like the snail, the escargot croissant was really difficult to make.
Technically?
Technically, it's very tricky. And I like the challenging part of making the croissant.
So how do you get people with enough skills to do this?
It's hard to find people here.
Mm.
So I have three French chefs now. Very nice, because they haven't always been so nice.
Oh.
Oh, so you... Okay.
Oh.
So are these people now living in Melbourne or travelling?
Yes, they're on sponsorship.
Right, okay.
So they're only here temporarily, and we hire... Everyone else is Australian, so they learn the way we make things. And the Australian ones have been really good.
Yep.
They learn very quickly and they're very efficient. But it's true that I could never find anyone here who knew how to make them.
There's another famous croissanterie, an Australian woman who learned in and came back and is doing extremely well, similar to you, very big queues. People love the product, prepared to pay for it because it's different and it's worth it. And she was saying the same thing. In France, the good thing about traditionalism is that you have people that have these robust skills that are very reliable and they're bulletproof and they're there, but that sometimes can lack innovation. Do you find that as well? Do you find that you're getting the people to go outside of what they've learned and really learned hard? I mean, these skills aren't easy to come by, are they? Skills in the kitchen are...
It's very, very hard to work through, but I think it's true. Even the French chefs that I have, so they're very good at what they do and they have all the techniques. But when it's something a little bit different, it's really hard for them to get used to it. And I think maybe that's one of my strengths. It's because I didn't really learn in a bakery.
Yeah. Mm.
So nothing was forced on me. I just worked by myself and I learned how to be efficient by myself. And I know when new people start, I know they have all their things they learn, and I ask them, why do you do it this way? And they don't even know why. And I know it's one of the things that I like to tell people, that if I do something like that, it's because, you know, this and this happened, and then I found that this was better and easier. And so maybe that's why I managed to do it, and I didn't have all this pressure or to just do what people had told me to do for so many years. And
do you think that came also part of your IT background, the fact that you've had to consult and be a problem solver, that you approached with fresh eyes? Do you think that your IT background helped you?
Yes, probably. It helped me in the way that... that's all I did. It's true. When I was in IT, I was a project manager, and all I was doing was solving everyone's problems and also organizing everyone's work. And
sounds like what you're doing today, but with butter and pandan.
Did you always have a sweet tooth?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Every Sunday we had pastries. But dessert cakes,
yes,
for afternoon tea.
That's very, very European, isn't it, to have dessert cakes for afternoon tea and,
yes,
you know, and families and friends all get together and they, you know, sit around and eat cake and enjoy each other's company. So it's lovely.
Yes, yeah, we'll do that. And mornings, usually at work, I would have a chocolate croissant, pain au chocolat.
Okay, so I was going to ask you what you started your day with. So yours is a chocolate croissant?
Yes.
What about you, Stefan? What do you start your day with?
Vegemite and toast, mate.
Yeah.
And a BB.
I really don't like Vegemite, to be honest. Really something I can't get used to. I tried with Marmite in the UK and that didn't work, and then Vegemite here didn't work. I just have cereals, very boring. Sometimes I do have sourdough bread, but butter and jam. Mm. But that's probably what my breakfast is. Yeah, so not very...
You don't have a croissant?
No, because I can't find where I live in my part of the town. I can't find...
Do you deliver?
I can't find the good croissants.
You can't?
Good. No, okay. Not
but
really.
You have other good cuisines. You have a lot of Lebanese.
Oh, yeah. There is. Yeah, I live in the northern suburbs, so we have got a lot of Lebanese things. And,
so if you want a za'atar or...
I could have that, but it's not what I've been used to eat when I was young, so...
Baklava for breakfast.
Oh, yeah. No. Thank you.
So you arrived in Australia. Was it a big sea change for you? Or was it a culture shock? Did you think, oh, wow, I've arrived. How can I bring my own twist of France to Melbourne? And you've done it. But how was it coming to Australia and settling in?
Well, this time it was easy because I had already lived in Australia when I was a bit younger. In 2001, I came with my IT job.
Oh, cool.
They sent me to Sydney. And I stayed 3 years. And that's how I met my husband. So I met him there. So, but that time, that first time was really, it was very difficult.
Mm.
Had lots of issues because in France we're very chaotic and we don't respect any rules. And so here there are so many rules.
We do have a lot of rules here, don't we? And,
not in Parliament.
No, we don't.
Let's
controversial.
Sorry.
That's what this show is all about. and you decided to make Melbourne home with your husband, so which is fantastic.
Yes, he's from Melbourne originally. So when we decided to come back, we moved here, and this time was quite easy. I knew what to expect, and also Australia's changed a lot. There's so many tourists now, and foreigners, backpackers.
Yeah,
so many French people everywhere.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Ooh la la, you have no idea how yummy these croissants are today that we're eating inside the studio at Joy 94.9. This is The Escape Hour, your food and travel show, and we are talking all things French and croissant-y today. It's a gorgeous day outside in sunny old Melbourne town, and we've got a French spin happening. Mm. So what are you eating there, Stéphane?
I'm trying to eat the pandan croissant.
Mm, what's pandan?
Well, I think it's some...
the vanilla of Malaysia, apparently.
Oh, thanks, Mark.
I got you've been marketing that one for a while. I can hear that. So let's have a little... bit of fun here. Well, let's pretend you have a shop in Paris, right?
Yes.
And you are in Paris and you've just walked into this lovely lady's shop and you're going to order something in French.
Well, I love a bit of role play, right?
Who doesn't love role play? So we're just going to have a bit of role play just for a minute or so, just because I love the accent. So go ahead.
Oh, this is a bit difficult. Bonjour.
Bonjour, monsieur.
Bonjour. Je pourrais avoir deux croissants et une baguette, s'il vous plaît.
Oui, bien sûr. Très cuit ou...
Oh, non.
Non, pas trop cuit.
I can't even remember how to say not...
She said, would you like to tap?
Pas très cuit.
Pas très cuit. Donc, deux croissants, une baguette.
Ça sera tout, merci.
Ce sera 4 euros, peut-être.
Ah, merci.
Oh, it's so exciting, isn't it? Listen to that, Mark.
I didn't hear the word pandan once.
No, because I don't know that you, as Agathe was saying before, I don't know that people would be very receptive to this kind of taste in croissant.
Do you think in France that people would not want the flavour, not expect it, or not appreciate it? Is that what you're... I can't ask Stéphane anymore because he's appreciating the flavour ostentatiously. Do you think that it would not be welcome, received, or it wouldn't suit the French palate?
Maybe a little bit of everything.
Mm.
But there are people who actually try to be a bit inventive. And Pierre Hermé, who is a really famous chef, he made a coffee croissant. And it was very popular. But probably most of his customers are not French. Not tourists.
Oh, that's funny.
It's very well known for macarons as well. And last year I was in France and we had some... we were all French, apart from my husband, who is Australian. We had some caviar macaron. And I can't say that I was...
Wowed
by them. Other flavours were beautiful, but those were special for Christmas, for New Year, you know. So the caviar one. Yes, yeah, celebration. And I wasn't keen on that. That was very fishy.
I think macaron is a very delicate flavour. To put something as robust as sturgeon roe and the fishiness that goes in such a delicate...
Yeah, that was a little bit...
But foie gras macaron is delicious,
The foie gras, we had that as well, and that was nicer.
That's a very strong flavour as well.
Yeah, but it actually went well with the sweetness. Because a lot of the time, and sometimes you can have them on, you can have foie gras on the brioche, which is slightly sweet bread.
Yeah.
So that was very nice with the macaron, but the other one, no, I wouldn't try again.
How many croissants do you bake every week, do you think?
Oh, yeah.
We sell about just 9,000 products. It's not just croissants, we also have little. Madeleine, cannoli, just little cakes, and also tarts.
Yes.
I'm not too sure about just the croissant.
That's huge, though. That's amazing. That's
fantastic. we make like big quantity, and it's very difficult because our kitchen is very small.
Why you have to do four things in a day in a test, because you've got to make a lot of things in a small amount of time and a very even smaller space.
Oh, exactly.
What time do you start in the morning to have all this ready?
We're very lucky because we start at 6.
Oh, so
sometimes 5, just depends on the day. But because we bake throughout the day, so we don't have to prepare everything in advance during the night, like most bakeries. Mm-hmm. So we start baking at 6 o'clock. And then if you go to the shop, you will always have something warm, too, because we bake nonstop. And so that's why I think people really love our products. We've had some complaints when people had a cold croissant.
Wow.
Like they complained that they couldn't get a warm one. And I even had a bad review because a lady had a cold croissant. I mean, that's just the way you eat them normally. You eat them cold.
You eat them warm.
But
didn't you have a microwave?
Well, you know, we made a big mistake in South Korea only 10 days ago. We went into a coffee shop there and ordered a croissant and it was stale. And so, you know, croissant, South Korea, doesn't go. France... croissant does go. So that's just a travel tip. In South Korea, you eat kimchi. You don't eat croissants.
Okay? Yeah, kimchi's great.
Oh, it is great. But there was a question I was going to ask you, and it's gone. God, I hate it when that happens when you're on air.
I was reading that you make baguettes now as well.
Yes.
Is that right? Yeah.
Yes, we started last year to make baguettes. And they're...
traditional.
Just traditional. We had a few flavoured ones. So we had some with garlic and poppy seed. But it's getting too difficult, actually, to make them. We have a very bad small bread oven. We don't have any space. If you look at us, making the baguette, it's just ridiculous because the baker has to turn to put them in the oven. It's just so small. So we can only... make for a day probably 100 baguettes. And actually, I thought that was a lot of baguettes, but we sell out. And people get really upset about the baguette. So now I'm thinking it was a bad move.
When you sell out?
Because they queue and there's none. Oh. And then they come back, because we tell them to come back and they don't have to queue again. But still, we tell them, you know, 15 minutes, come back in 15 minutes. But if people, sometimes they arrive earlier or later and then they're already gone. And some people they get very frustrated.
But it is quite difficult to find good baguettes in Melbourne, I think. That might be why it's quite popular.
Yes, and ours are warm also. Oh. They're fresh. They just come out of the oven, so that makes
crispy
all
on the
difference.
Outside, fluffy on the inside.
Yes, yes.
Ooh. I was in Lyon last October. What's that red... I wish I could remember what it's called. You've explained this to me once before.
It's, you know, with the almonds, the red brioche.
Les pralines.
Oui.
Pralines. Yes.
That's
so good.
They are so yummy, aren't they? Yes. Yes. Could you do that here?
Yeah, actually, I think we could. I made some praline myself. They're not that hard to make.
Yeah, I'd love to buy some praline croissant.
Yeah, you can buy praline also already made here.
Oh, okay.
I think we did have a praline brioche when we opened. But it wasn't very popular. People didn't understand why it was pink.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I didn't understand why it was pink when I went to Lyon.
Well, we were walking.
Why is this pink?
We were walking around with people waiting, queues and line, waiting to get into these bakeries in Lyon just to eat the praline desserts that they had. And there were thousands of them, and they were so yummy. So, you guys know how to cook. That's what I'll say for you. There's nothing better than French cuisine, is there? Mark?
Ah, Stéphane.
I can't.
Controversial.
I don't have. That's controversial. It's just.
Well, I make it into a controversy. Yeah, it's not really. Stéphane's point of view is very intriguing, and I think you should recount it again, Stéphane. I know that we brought it up on Bastille Day of all
yes,
days.
Yes, we did. Having lived in England for 10 years before I came to Australia, so I've been in Australia for 10 years now, so I haven't lived in France for 20 years. So I can't say that I've kept up with what's happening in the cuisine domain in France. But when I lived in England, I noticed that there was really a big change in British food, and it was coming up much more than France, which was really high. And I think, as we had a little discussion, I guess, was saying that it's probably gone down whilst British when started from a really
low base
and improved dramatically. And there was a lot of great chefs now in England, and they've done all this gastropubs food where you can have fairly good food.
And British people demand higher quality.
Yeah.
Much higher quality.
But it was really bad before. I remember when I
but those days are gone.
I moved to England in 1999 and it wasn't very nice. Mm. But then it's changed dramatically. And I think you can find a lot of bad restaurants in Paris. And...
Yes.
I don't know that I don't know that you find that many bad restaurants in London now. I mean, obviously, if you go to a Greasy Spoon or this kind of things, it's probably not the best. But, yeah, so that's my controversy. I think we haven't kept up with that in France.
I agree. I think
You're Parisian, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm from Paris. We used to have really good little brasserie, you know, just around the corner.
And bistro.
Bistro, and you could have just basic food, but really delicious specialties.
That classic cassoulet.
Yes, kind of bœuf bourguignon. But now, I think it's all industrial now. They don't make their own food anymore. And the last time I went, it was 4 years ago. It was a long time ago. But I was so disappointed with even the soup à l'oignon, just the basic ones that used to be so delicious.
So even onion soup was...
was disgusting.
What's your favourite thing to do in Paris?
I like to walk around. I actually like the Eiffel Tower.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLD-TIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9, and we are all fat. That's all I'm going to say is we are fat. We've eaten too many croissants. Our sweet tooths have taken over. I feel like a great big lard of butter, but I'm going to have another as soon as the show's over with because it's so good. Now, we've had a listener message in, and they want to know where they can go and experience these amazing desserts.
Well, our shop is located in the South Melbourne Market, and so you can go there on the... Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, when the market is open. But we also have a little hole in the wall in the city.
Oh, do you?
Yes, it's in the Royal Arcade, and it's open Tuesday to Friday.
Oh, is this new?
Last year. We opened last year.
Did you do coffee?
No, but there's a coffee just across from us.
Okay, fine.
A cafe.
And you do coffee at South Melbourne?
No, we don't. We don't do coffee, but there's a cafe just down the aisle.
Lovely.
Sorry, I'm eating.
So can I have a nice French croissant and a Melbourne coffee?
When you travel, do you fold or roll?
Roll.
That's the way. We've got a roller. We have a roller. We love a roller.
Normally it's a folder.
Yeah.
Well done.
We're talking about your suitcase, not your toilet paper. But
yeah, the clothes in the suitcase.
I thought you were talking about me at the airport.
Oh, well, these croissants have been absolutely fantastic. We've really enjoyed having you on the show today. Mm. And
it's good to see Australian culture being enhanced by some beautiful French talent.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I mean Stéphane as well. And so what's next? What's the next idea? What's the next big thing in the monde du croissant?
Next big thing in the monde du croissant? Maybe, no, that's already been done, like a deep-fried croissant, but that's already...
I think they did that in Scotland.
That's already, in New York as well.
Sorry, everything in Scotland.
Have you ever had an Aussie pizza?
Sorry?
An Aussie pizza. Have you had an Aussie pizza?
Yes.
What about an Aussie croissant?
Yes, like with the little ham and the
pineapple. Oh, yeah, we could do that, couldn't we?
I reckon you and I need to talk.
I love it.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.